You only have one guy you listen to, and it's Trump.
But I listen to everybody, but I have one man whose voice sounds louder than everybody else's.
Donald Trump understood America. I mean, there was no question in my mind watching the crowds reacting to him.
Paul Manafort taking the reins of the Trump campaign.
At the end of this convention, people will say what about Donald Trump?
That he's ready to be president of the United States, and there's no reason for him to change.
Paul's done a great job.
Is under audit. When the audit is completed, he'll release his returns. We really don't know what was done by and who it was done by. As far as we're concerned, the speech is Melania's speech.
Well, first of all, he didn't encourage anybody to hack.
Look, the purpose of this convention is to do some things that haven't been done during the course of the campaign.
So to be clear, Mr. Trump has no financial relationships with any Russian oligarchs.
That's what he said. That's what I said. That's obviously what our position is.
Breaking news from the Donald Trump campaign and another change at the top. Campaign chairman Paul Manafort resigns.
You know, Paul Manafort worked for me for a very short period of time. He worked for Ronald Reagan. He worked for Bob Dole. He worked for John McCain, or his firm did.
We do know that those property purchases and various different money transactions that he's had over the years are under heavy scrutiny from federal agents.
We're also following breaking news in the case against former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. He just entered a plea in court in Virginia.
Manafort was working, ghostwriting an op-ed with Ukrainians and a Russian who has ties to Russian intelligence.
Paul Manafort tried to contact witnesses in his own tax fraud and lobbying case.
He has no information incriminating of the president. I know that for a fact. They can squeeze him. Paul Manafort does not know anything.
Winning isn't enough, but it's how you win and how much you win.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. Paul Manafort's trial kicks off today in a U.S. district court in Alexandria, Virginia. Manafort's trial is the first trial resulting from charges brought by special counsel Robert Mueller. Manafort faces 18 counts, including allegations of tax fraud and bank fraud surrounding the more than $60 million that the former Trump campaign chairman made through his work in Ukraine. If convicted, the most serious charges can carry sentences of up to 30 years behind bars. In addition, Manafort will face a second trial in the D.C. Circuit Court this September. Andrea Bernstein is senior editor for WNYC and host of the Trump Inc. podcast, and she's in Alexandria, Virginia today for the trial. She says, while the focus is on financial crimes allegedly committed by Manafort, it may be hard to keep Russia completely out of the courtroom.
It's really interesting because both President Trump and Paul Manafort have said that this trial has nothing to do with Russia, that the alleged acts occurred long before the Trump campaign. And that's true, and it isn't true. This is not a trial for conspiring to hack into Hillary Clinton's emails. This is not a trial for conspiring to coordinate with Russia. This is a trial for tax fraud and bank fraud based on Paul Manafort's financial dealings in the Ukraine. That said, there are lots of ties.
Now, Paul Manafort is currently in jail awaiting trial. Can you tell us a little bit about his circumstances right now? And if he is found guilty, what type of sentence could he be looking at?
So this is a really interesting story because Paul Manafort was initially put on house arrest with an ankle bracelet. While he was on house arrest in D.C., he communicated with the gentleman that Mueller believes is a Russian spy about an op-ed, despite the court's ban on communicating with the press. So he got in trouble for that. Then, subsequently, while he was also on house arrest for this Virginia case, so wearing two ankle bracelets, he allegedly communicated with some of the witnesses in the case, helping them, it would seem, to get their stories straight. After he did that, the special counsel's office said this man can't be trusted. He needs to go to jail. So he is now in the city jail in Alexandria, in Virginia. And he came in, actually, last week during a pretrial hearing, not wearing one of these very expensive suits. By the way, the receipts for his suits are evidence in this trial because he allegedly laundered money by buying suits at the House of Bijan, which is, its slogan is, "We are the most expensive store in the world."
That's the slogan.
That is the slogan.
Okay.
So we're used to seeing him in these fancy suits, but last week he came in a green jumpsuit, which what looked like a sort of white cotton undershirt underneath. So it's a very different presentation last week when he went to court from this sort of elegant, man of the world that we're used to seeing him as.
Okay, so there's a lot happening here. You talked earlier about the Ukrainian connection, and I'd like for our listeners to understand a little bit more about that. So the money that's in question here came from the work that Manafort, and correct us if we're wrong here, was doing for a pro-Russian political party in the Ukraine. So far, right?
Correct. His client in the Ukraine, strongman Viktor Yanukovych, was very close to Putin. And in fact, there's lots of evidence that he was trying to move Ukraine closer to Putin.
Okay. What did he do with that money? Is this what he used to buy suits?
Yes.
Okay.
So what he allegedly did, according to the indictment, is he was making so much money in Ukraine, he didn't want to pay taxes on it. So the alleged scheme is that he had the money wired from Ukraine to Cyprus, which at that time had notoriously lax bank regulations. And then because there's a loophole with a lot of New York real estate that you can pay with cash, which basically means without a loan, according to the indictment, the money was wired from Cyprus to pay for a number of homes in New York City. So there's a townhouse in Brooklyn, a four-story townhouse. There is another apartment in Soho in Manhattan. There is more money that went into construction at a Hamptons estate on
Long
Island.
What was Paul Manafort being paid for?
It's interesting because
this is a lot of money.
So there was a lot of evidence released on Friday by Paul Manafort himself. Very, very interesting. It was a series of emails and communications with his clients in Ukraine where he was discussing strategy, was discussing speeches. He was discussing the kind of normal thing that campaign consultants discuss with their clients. And I think that what Paul Manafort was doing by issuing all this information was giving us a window into his defense, which is he was acting like a normal consultant and he was doing ordinary business. The problem for Paul Manafort is that we've seen the evidence list that Mueller has released. And in addition to all of these allegedly fraudulent bank loans and tax statements, there are things like a glimpse into his season tickets at the Yankees and his payments for his Mercedes-Benz and his payments for his Land Rover. So these were all big ticket items that he was allegedly using the purchase of these items to hide the money that he allegedly was trying to hide from the IRS. So to get the money into the United States, he was putting it directly into these expensive things. All of these, according to the indictment, are allegedly ways that Paul Manafort got money from the Ukraine into the United States.
Now, did any of that activity that he allegedly performed influence the campaign when he did? And did any of that happen around the time that he was President Trump's campaign advisor?
Well, this is a bit of an open question. So Paul Manafort's business partner, Rick Gates, who was indicted along with him but is now cooperating with the special counsel, has potentially some information about that. We may or may not see it in this trial. The judge has said and the prosecutors have said we're not going to be talking about Russia collusion specifically. But there is one place in this trial where we know very directly the Trump campaign is coming into it. Manafort bought this four-story brownstone in Brooklyn, allegedly with his ill-gotten gains from the Ukrainian strongman. Then, when the Ukrainian strongman Viktor Yanukovych was driven out of the Ukraine, Paul Manafort still wanted money. So he went to a bank and he said, I need a $7 million loan. As a matter of fact, one of the whole reasons that we at WNYC started covering Manafort, this was way back in early 2017, right after Trump became president, and I noticed that he had a $7 million loan on this brownstone in Brooklyn. And because it's not too far from where I live, I thought, wow, that is a lot of money. That's weird. Well, we learned last week that Mueller thinks it's not only weird, but criminal, because he thinks that the owner of that bank conspired with Paul Manafort to inflate the value of what that home was worth so that Manafort could get a lot of money. And the banker thought, according to Mueller, that he was going to get a job with President Trump. So there are ways in which it abuts Manafort's work on the Trump campaign, but doesn't necessarily have as its subject the actual work that he did on the Trump campaign up to now.
Mueller's team also released a list of 35 potential witnesses for the Virginia trial today. And I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about who we should be paying attention to as who's on that
list. So quite a few of those witnesses appear to be employees of banks, insurance companies, people that may testify as to their having reviewed a particular financial document. That seems to be the bulk of the witnesses. Rick Gates, who was the deputy campaign manager for President Trump and who ran his inaugural committee and who for a while worked at a pro-Trump political action committee, Rick Gates has pleaded guilty, is cooperating with Mueller, and is, I think, the most interesting witness on this list because not only does he allegedly know about this scheme, but obviously because he worked so closely with President Trump and with Paul Manafort. You remember, Paul Manafort resigned from the campaign. He resigned from the campaign after word just began to emerge that maybe he was getting these unkosher payments from Ukraine. There was a story in the New York Times where they had found these handwritten bank ledgers where there were notations that they had paid Manafort $12 million in cash. So that story comes out. It's right after the Republican convention. Paul Manafort officially leaves the campaign. But Rick Gates, his deputy, stays there and continues to work for the rest of it. So I think Rick Gates is the most interesting witness. There's another interesting witness, Tad Devine, a Democratic political consultant. He's worked for Ted Kennedy, worked for Bernie Sanders. He's also on the witness list. From the evidence that Paul Manafort released last week, we do see that Tad Devine was also involved in the Ukrainian political campaign. There's no allegation that he was involved in anything criminal, but it will be interesting to see how his testimony fits into this whole picture.
So we've talked sort of around Mueller here, but ultimately, what is the goal for Mueller?
Well, first and foremost, from everybody that I've spoken to who's ever worked with Bob Mueller, his goal is to prosecute crimes and get convictions. So he obviously believes there were crimes committed here. He's looking for a conviction. So that in and of itself is a goal. Now, obviously, he's involved in this wide-ranging investigation. Paul Manafort could plead guilty at any time before the jury comes back with its verdict. The longer you wait to plead guilty, the theory goes, the less good a deal you're going to get. And he has given no indication that he wants to do that. So if he is simply convicted by a jury, then he will face jail time, and there is no way of getting him to cooperate. But he has said, I've done nothing wrong here. I was acting like an ordinary businessman, and I am being prosecuted for things that were never prosecuted before.
Andrea Bernstein is senior editor for WNYC and host of the Trump Inc. podcast, and she's on the ground in Alexandria, Virginia today for the trial. Andrea, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much.
And be sure to check your podcast feeds later this week for a special edition of the Trump Inc. podcast on the opening statements in the Manafort trial.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.